So, greetings, dear listeners. This is Aniket Slaytin, a student from Terry School of Advanced Studies, practicing sustainable development practice. And we have here an esteemed guest, Dr. Mark Ors. Dr. Mark Ors is a teaching associate professor in engineering design, and with more than a decade of experience in teaching in the fields of sustainable development and engineering design. With his immense knowledge in the disciplines of engineering, business, and arts and sciences, he yields this as a trident of disciplines, and like Poseidon, he likes to battle climate change through sustainable development practices. Now, as the facilitator of the Global Classroom for the Masters of Development Practice programs worldwide, I'd like to extend my warm welcome to our SDP podcast. Welcome, Dr. Mark Ors.
Thank you, Anakin. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the Global Masters in Development Practice program is spread over 6 continents and 35 universities. Could you briefly tell us, firstly, about the inception of this program, and secondly, the reach it now has across the globe?
Sure. So the very first Global Classroom was offered 1 year before the first Masters of Development Practice cohort started at Columbia University. So it was something of a proof of concept, and it involved some universities who were intending to join the network or intending to create programs. So that was back in the fall of 2007. And that year there was actually, the course at that time was led by Professor Jeff Sachs and also Professor John MacArthur, who was working in the Earth Institute and was also leading the course back at that time. The initial TA was someone named Lily Parshall, who was a first year student in my program, the PhD in Sustainable Development. She was part of the very first cohort. And the next year, they asked if I would be interested in leading the TAing of the course, the Global Classroom. So I became involved myself first as a teaching assistant, and that was back in 2008. So that was the second actual offering of the Global Classroom. In 2008, I took over as TAs, and that was the second offering of the course. So I've been involved with it all the way back since its second offering in 2008. I continued to TA the course until the fall of 2011. So I was TA for 4 years. Then stepped away from the Global Classroom. I started a full-time position at Lehigh University as a professor of practice there and founding director of a sustainable development program. But then we ourselves at Lehigh started to participate in the Global Classroom. And at that point, I actually got pulled back in as a adjunct to help teach the local version of the Global Classroom at Columbia University. That was back in August of 2016. So for 1 year, I was an adjunct just locally for the Global Classroom at Columbia University. And then the following year, Columbia actually stopped hosting and participating in the Global Classroom. And at that point, Lehigh University took over. So in August of 2017, we started to lead the Global Classroom out of Lehigh University. And it's been led out of Lehigh University ever since, even though I myself departed Lehigh in the fall of 2018. And then started recently at the Colorado School of Mines here in Colorado. But ever since August 2017, I've been the sole facilitator of the Global Classroom, and I've been leading it through Lehigh University.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Mark. What do you feel about the reach that the Global Classroom has across the globe?
Yeah, so the initial intention, and keep in mind that this was conceived back in the mid-2000s before these kinds of options and online coursings and services were available. So there was a desire to connect practitioners across the world that were interested in sustainable development. There's an understanding of the local dimensions of sustainable development and the need for a differential diagnosis to happen at that local level. So there was really an interest in making sure that we were connecting with as many people as we could on the ground in their own locations to both share the gospel of sustainable development, but also to learn from them what their own approaches were and their own challenges were and how they were conceiving of them. So that was what it what kind of originally spearheaded it. Since then, the Masters of Development Practice program has grown to over 30 programs worldwide. Initially, it was just Columbia University the first year. The second year, I think they opened it up to another 10 or so rounds of funding from the MacArthur Foundation. So we've seen it slowly grow over the years, but we've also seen kind of different, as far as the Global Classroom goes, different participants at different times. As I mentioned earlier, we had Columbia was the leader and the lead participant for a long time, and then they stepped away in 2017. And did their own kind of version of what they had been offering worldwide. And then the Global Classroom itself though continued despite that. So it's popular. I think it's especially popular across the globe where maybe programs either due to geography, language, connections, timing, might not have access to some of the speakers that we're able to present since we have such a dynamic group. It is because of that really dynamic group that we have across the world that we're able to attract some of these top-notch speakers who we otherwise probably wouldn't be able to get. So it's been great to see it grow. It's been great to see additional universities from different parts of the world and to gain additional perspectives. So it was really nice.
With Terry School of Advanced Studies now being one of the participant universities, could you tell us something about how what is the role of a participant university when it comes to the bigger picture of the global MDP?
Sure. So I should mention first that despite the fact that we have some 30 plus programs, not everybody participates in the Global Classroom, or not everybody participates live in the Global Classroom. So we have kind of two different groups of participants. We call them synchronous and asynchronous programs. So the synchronous programs are those who are participating live every week and are more or less on the line and interacting live and asking questions, et cetera. Whereas asynchronously, we do post the recordings of the videos and many of the universities that don't participate live do participate offline by having their students at least view the recordings and participate in the readings. So there's at least a shared content model that's happening. Program. So we have some diverse kind of participants from outside the network as well. As to what programs can do in the network, it was really nice to see this past year students at Terry step up and create a Discord group to try and create more intermingling and connections between students. And we even posed a final kind of project challenge where we had students from several universities across the network interacting. That's some of the more interaction we've had over the years, which is nice to see. So we have tried to make it more interactive, but at times it's challenging. So we've essentially been keeping it as mostly a unified content delivery platform where we're all on the same call, something of a webinar. So we're at least getting exposed to each other and seeing each other's names and universities and questions. But to have that extra layer of the Discord chat, for example, was just a really creative way of getting people more engaged, more connected. So I'd like to see us do more of that. I'd like to see that came organically out of the course itself. I think it's a function of the course itself getting more smooth and people getting more comfortable with online platforms. You know, we had switched to Zoom before Zoom was popular, made popular by the pandemic. And it was an intentional decision to go with Zoom. And we chose it because of its low bandwidth requirements and its easy access and especially access under kind of adverse conditions. I think one of the great successes of the classroom lately is making it as easy as possible using low bandwidth technology and other means to simply get everybody together and allow everybody to participate from across the world. But it's really nice to see universities stepping up to make the experience even more than just kind of a shared webinar experience, but a way for them to connect more professionally and expand their network, to get to know people from across the globe. So we'd love to add more of those kinds of things, and maybe we'll continue something like the Discord group going forward, and maybe even add some additional interactive components.
Yes, it was something beautiful that we had started the Discord group. It just feels like a new community that is being building, and I hope that it does move forward and we have more interaction with different universities, different disciplines, different courses around the world trying to reach for the same goal. Every September, we do have an integrated global classroom, and it has really esteemed guests giving lectures on sustainable development, and that too moderated by yourself. Could you touch upon how this exposure translates into potential opportunities for the young sustainable development practitioners who are trying to join into this program?
Sure. I think the most important thing we do or try to do is we try to highlight speakers from different backgrounds, both geographically and in terms of diversity, but especially in terms of academic kind of approach. So we try to divide up the class intentionally into a couple different categories. One, we try to have a somewhat of a focus on each of the four different pillars of sustainable development. So economic well-being, environmental protection, social inclusion, and governance for sustainable development. So we try to intentionally break up our speakers by focus area within those kinds of pillars. And then we also try to shake up our speakers so that we're not just hearing from maybe leading world experts, but also hearing from some more junior faculty with cutting edge perspectives. And also importantly, especially for this group, to try and weave in some practitioners so that we're also getting perspectives from people who are on the ground doing the work day in, day out. So in our hopes for that are that our students are basically getting a broad variety of really cutting edge, hot off the press kind of latest thinking in a more of a fireside chat kind of, this is what it's really like behind the scenes. This is how you actually get things done. This is what I've actually learned about being a sustainable development practitioner. So we're trying to give special information that wouldn't be received maybe in another forum or another venue. I think this is best maybe encapsulated in a couple of our speakers from throughout the years. One is the last 2 years we've added Mrs. Paula Caballero. The mother of the SDGs is how she's known. And she comes in and she doesn't even prepare a PowerPoint. She just kind of talks from her heart about the long and hard process of coming up with the SDGs and more importantly, getting them implemented, getting them approved, getting them on track. And the way she tells it is from more of kind of a inside scoop information, little, like I said earlier, fireside chat kind of background information. So I think by getting not only a great cutting edge speakers at different levels from different perspectives of practice, but I think also just having them kind of give that different overview, that different perspective that you might not hear if you weren't part of this global classroom. We're trying to get something that you couldn't just download online or listen to on YouTube. Another great example besides Mrs. Paula Caballero is the digital minister of Taiwan, Audrey Chang, who we unfortunately were not able to get last year because Audrey has just been very busy dealing with COVID response in Taiwan and other things. But the previous 2 years we had Minister Tang, and Minister Tang, if you watch the recording of one of those lectures, is just really a wizard when it comes to presenting online and to really sharing all the information right at her fingertips, which is part of her own message as digital minister of Taiwan around being very transparent and open with records and government information and what the government is doing, especially in these important areas of sustainable development. All that to say, Ms. Paula Caballero, digital minister Tang, they're offering a very unique kind of background behind the scenes tour of what really goes on in their professional lives on a day-to-day basis and how to effect change. So I think hopefully those are the kinds of perspectives our students experience, and that's maybe why we hope there's such a positive kind of vibe within the classroom, especially these last few years as we've really kind of sought to democratize the process a little bit.
Yes, of course. The esteemed guests give their perspective on their troubles with how they have been trying to fight climate change, and it surely does awaken a lot of us trying to do the same within ourselves. But yes, the Global Classroom, it does provide a platform where you can interact with people from across the world and try to relate with their problems as well. So this is something that we really need to look forward to. And in the coming years, I find the global classroom would grow and it would make a change in our society. I'd like to conclude here. Thank you for your time, Dr. Mark. But to conclude this episode, I would request a small concluding remark.
Sure. You know, I think the program in a way is stabilizing in terms of maybe numbers. And I know we're still adding some universities, but we're kind of maybe flattening out at a certain number. We have a really nice, diverse representation from different parts of the globe, which I just love to see. So going forward, I think, honestly, one of the areas that is probably the most important for the network as a whole is how can we be ever more interconnected and working together in partnership so that we're not just a collection of independent universities, but somehow have a greater part of that whole. And I think Global Classroom and programs like this and other global classrooms, which are possible and sometimes do exist between participating universities, maybe on a smaller scale with a specific topic. But I do think the future lies in becoming even more interconnected, especially with the past couple of years in the pandemic and no longer having some of the summits we used to have, some of the conferences with students traveling and in interacting. It highlights the importance of just trying to find other ways to work together, to connect together. And I think, you know, platforms like Discord are really great for something that simple as just kind of connecting people with similar interests from similar backgrounds across the network. So I would love to see more of that happening at different levels. I'd love to see more global classrooms. I look forward to continuing this one and just trying to make it even more representational of where people are coming from in terms of geography and kind of philosophy and approach to sustainable development. But yeah, I think what would be really wonderful to see is more and more of these kinds of collaborations and interactions occurring organically between our students at our different universities.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mark. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Anika.